slowly and steadily on, you make it through. I am doing considerably better tonight. My twisted sense of humor has somewhat returned, and we have been quite active throughout the course of the day, even though we've not really touched the websites in a couple of nights. Good evening and welcome to another installment in Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. You're listening to this program live on the 14th day of April, 2011, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Glad to have you here. It has been quite a busy day. I had to pick up some rather large loads of gold and silver earlier today to get transmitted out to some of our clients. And so for those of you who have recently placed some smaller silver orders with us, we'll get cranking and hopefully begin the delivery tomorrow. That is an arduous project. It's one of the reasons I'm thankful that I don't ship a lot of that stuff, because it is, gold is one thing. It's easy to deal with. Silver is a nightmare. Every single roll needs to be opened and repacked, and so it's tight so it doesn't rattle, and it is it's grueling. So that's what I'll be doing late tonight. Interesting day in the markets. I don't, to be honest, really have not spent a lot of time studying why, and I, in the scheme of things, don't really care too much. And I know that that's shocking to some of you. But I am long convinced that the things we see take place on Wall Street each and every day are such a bloody joke anyway that it's nothing but Vegas. I think I once wrote a piece about that they should shut down Wall Street and move Wall Street to Las Vegas. And I think that everyone understands why. It is nothing more than a continual dice throw. But having said all that, the Dow Jones Industrial closed up 14 today to end their session at 12,285. NASDAQ off a point at 2760. S&P 500 flat at 1315. Global Dow also flat at 2181. Oil, well, keeps on moving up 47 cents, currently at 108.58. Am I hearing music? I think I'm hearing music. Let's make sure I can continue to hear it throughout the hour. We will be back. We're taking this program in a particularly interesting direction tonight. Be back in a few moments.
I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at HempUSA.org today.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Metals markets today. Gold and silver surged again today as first-time claims for unemployment benefits jumped. Wholesale prices continue to rise. You continue to watch the cost of food increase. Fuel. Silver in the aftermarkets is sitting real pretty at $42.31 an ounce, a pretty intense gain for the day. Gold at $1,478.30, platinum up $7.40, currently just literally at $1,799 an ounce. I think back to late January, I believe it was, when we were offering peace dollars, and they're still available. We were offering, you know, bags and partial bags of peace silver dollars, the old U.S. legal tender coinage. And spot silver at that time was about $28 an ounce.
Oh, it can't go much higher. Can't go much higher.
Yeah, well, we see where it is today, and we wonder. Never mind. You figure it out for yourself. One of the things that we, I guess, continue to be concerned about in the alternative media, there's been rumors out that there's been death threats on a broadcaster, and I tend to take some of those rumors with a grain of salt, considering where some of the rumors emanate from. We have heard and read about for years the Southern Poverty Center, or Southern Poverty Law Center's annual hit list of, you know, the so-called dangerous Americans. There are those who feel some of the leadership of America has sold us down a river of ruin. I mean, after all, the bailouts, the corruptions, the malfeasance that has brought the financial catastrophe to America. Not a single financial elite to this day has been indicted, let alone gone to jail. Crimes have surely been committed, but it appears that the United States Just Us Department has turned its back on prosecuting anyone. But on the other hand, the government is putting more and more pressure on common citizens who are looking for a peaceful change to get the country back on track. There's a gentleman out there named Brandon Smith, somewhat better known as Giordano Bruno. He's written an essay that I felt is well worth sharing with you. Oh, it's got some humor in it, but more importantly, a whole lot of truth. The column is entitled, A Day in the Life of a Homegrown Terrorist. Now, think about that one. Here's a guy who's, in effect, openly admitting to being what they're accusing him of being. There was a time when having one's name listed on the despised ranks of those villains that governments often categorize as terrorists involved quite a bit of legwork, as well as an ominous running resume of death, destruction, and general mean-spiritedness. Of course, if one examines the history of every modern country which eventually disintegrated into despotism, the definition of who the enemy is tends to become rather broad, rather quickly. That is to say, the more criminal the leadership of a country becomes, the easier it is for the average person to find himself labeled a criminal by that same leadership. Today, one does not need to blow up buildings or take hostages in political motivation, send anthrax through the mail, or even wave a gun around in a public place to be considered a terrorist threat. In fact, a man could never leave his home and still find himself under suspicion as an enemy of the state. The Department of Homeland Security has released numerous standardized guidelines to law enforcement offices across the country, which are meant to make it easier for police and others to identify a possible terrorist. If you were to take at face value such documents as the now famous or infamous MIAC report, M-I-A-C, the Virginia Fusion Center report, the DHS See Something, Say Something campaign, or even the EBA, the Enemy Belligerence Act. How about the post-trial statements of the Department of Justice in the Liberty Dollar case, or the wild spewing rhetoric of established mouthpiece organizations such as Morris Sleazebag's Southern Perverted Lawless Center? Then you would discover that a likely terrorist is anyone who talks frequently about the Constitution or speaks ill of the government. Anyone who supports the idea of a constitutional militia. Or anyone who fights against anti-gun legislation, or who owns many guns. Man, do we love guns. Look, I'm 63. I've had guns around me since I could crawl and before. Owned my first at the age of 8. And I still own them, and I still buy them. Who else is considered an enemy of the state? Anyone who supports state sovereignty and 10th Amendment issues, or anyone who supports Ron Paul, and that, according to the SPLC, is the ultimate sin. Anyone who believes the private Federal Reserve is destroying our economy. Anyone who talks about the New World Order or global government, which could include people like George Soros or Joe Biden, Gordon Brown, Henry Kissinger, George Bush, Daddy and Sonny, Willie Bob Clinton, Strobe Talbot, George McGovern, Mikhail Gorbachev, Richard Nixon, etc., etc. Wait a minute, some of those guys are dead. Anyone who discusses economic collapse as a reality in the United States is considered an enemy of the state. Anyone who speaks out against the IRS. Anyone who participates in hacktivism, including those who leak documents embarrassing to governments. Anyone who participates in any form of an activist group. Anyone who argues that the left-right political paradigm is a scam. Oh, it's not a scam. It's what they perform is a scam. Anyone who promotes anarchist views. Anyone who distrusts FEMA. As if Katrina never gave us an ample reason. Anyone who believes a truly independent investigation of 9/11 is rational and called for. And oh, the worst terrorist of the state, enemy of the state, is anyone who homeschools their children. Anyone who flies a Gadsden flag. Anyone who stores survival foods and food. Or uses shortwave radios or ham radios. Anyone who watches movies like Freedom to Fascism, which contain anti-Fed messages. Anyone who operates private barter and trade networks. Anyone who stores gold and silver or uses them as an alternative to the dollar. You see, basically anyone who dissents through independent political organization or protests through non-participation in the corrupt system might just as well be Al-Qaeda. Well, we could go on and on and on with far more comments about these kind of things, but I think you get the picture. In a world where refusing a naked body scan at the airport earns you intimidation and a demeaning thorough pat-down, it is clear that now, wherever we go, we are all considered suspects. Why would I turn down a naked body scan, one might ask? Well, obviously, because I have something to hide, namely my genitalia from the prying eyes of the TSA. You see, to be frank, my privacy and the privacy of all Americans is more important than your damn safety. Get over it. America, my friends, is moving closer to financial derailment. With that kind of destabilization often allows the escalation of what we might call the police state, a governmental framework that is designed specifically to protect the longevity of the core system that created the disaster in the very first place, removes civil liberties one bite at a time while demonizing any person who dares to question the necessity of the system, and institute new social dynamics meant to acclimate the public to the loss of the freedom and prosperity they once enjoyed. That is, to condition them to accept the loss as inevitable, and for, well, let's not forget the greater good. Most unsettling but absolutely predictable has been the recent tapping of the SPLC and ever-present establishment frontman like Mark Potok as the on-camera media hit squad against organizations like Von Neuthaus Liberty Dollar, anyone else attempting to promote alternative methods of currency and commerce outside of the corporately controlled economy. U.S. Attorney Ann Tompkins' post-trial statement in the case against Von Neuthaus that, quote, attempts to undermine the legitimate currency of this country are simply a unique form of domestic terrorism. Oh my God, people, this is just the beginning. And so Potok has now come forward stating, well, he, Von Neuthaus, of course, is playing on a core idea of the radical right, that evil bankers in the Federal Reserve are ripping you off by controlling the money supply. He went on to say that he very much exists in the world of the anti-government patriot movement, whatever he may say. That's who his customers are. Okay, Mr. Potok. We'll be back with some further commentary about this.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Welcome back to tonight's Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. Before I forget, we are scheduling for Monday night's return of our good friend Roger Sales. This has been a tough week. Part of it has had to do with complete lack of accessibility down in Argentina. That appears it will be corrected by tomorrow, and he will be back with us Monday night as we continue our saga. And we kind of move on from there. I don't know who the heck's calling me at this hour, but it's like, you know, if it's who I think it is, they've been told not to call at this hour. They're idiots. Getting back to our little essay about we, the enemies of the state, so to speak. Here's what we love about idiots like Mark Potok. His ability to vomit unsupported accusations and make absurdly false associations, all while making the absolute truth sound insane to the useful idiots out there in television land. First off, how does Potok define the so-called radical right? I mean, sounds scary, but what does it all mean? Who gets to decide what the radical right is? The SPLC? Is Morris Dees now gone back into the closet? Where is he? Is a right-wing radical or extremist anyone who just happens to disagree with Mark Potok's worldview or the global elitist vision of the future? Potok routinely haunts the transmissions of mainstream media networks to squat on our television screens and unleash a putrid torrent of ad hominem attacks without ever having to actually qualify, let alone quantify what he says. Truly is awe-inspiring. His style of propaganda comes from a long tradition of Alinsky-esque dishonesty in debate. You see, when the SPLC argues a point, their goal is not to get to the truth of a matter, nor to explore the complexity of an issue. It is to oversimplify the issues, to ridicule the opposition and taint their image in the minds of audiences before the audience ever gets a chance to hear the other side of the story. How often does Potok utter phrases like radical, extremist, terrorist, white supremacist, or hot-button names like Timothy McVeigh, all while discussing legitimate activist groups like the Ron Paul campaign or Oath Keepers or Tea Party movement or anti-Federal Reserve groups, etc.? You see, the purpose behind all of this is to condition average Americans to automatically interpret the terminology as being mutually related. To hear Oath Keeper, for instance, and think Timothy McVeigh. Jeez. I don't even think the Oath Keepers organization was in existence when we all first heard the name Timothy McVeigh. These tactics of false association invariably leads to a more generalized definition of criminality or terrorism and then the more intrusive legal actions and legislation. I read a headline today about a SWAT team that was sent in on a homeschool family because the parent would not put the child on ADHD medicine. How would they know the kid is ADHD if the kid's not part of the public school system anyway? Sounds like the doctor's talking out of turn. Oh, but then the other headline said there's a big shortfall of ADD, ADHD medicine, and parents are scrambling to poison their kids with this crap. Guess that makes me an enemy of the state, Mr. Potok. Well, now we take a look at the Liberty Dollar case, currently being used by the Department of Injustice in an effort to set a precedent which would make it easier for the government to prosecute any barter network utilizing gold and silver as competing currencies to the dollar. You see, the message is quite clear. You are not allowed to change the system. You are not allowed to buck the system nor criticize the system. According to the Department of Justice, in this case, you're not even allowed to walk away from the system. You will sit down. You will shut up. And you will participate whether you like it or not. I'm sure our friend Roger is possibly listening tonight, and he will have something more to say about that nonsense. You are not allowed to walk away from the system? Au contraire, mon ami. This philosophy is typical of autocratic nations. Around the globe, the citizenry is denied the ability to actively have a say in their own government because the parties involved refuse to represent them or even stoop to abusing them. And then they are denied the option to protest this lack of representation. And then they're also denied the choice of opting out and walking away. Now, a slightly more extreme example of this would be the Chinese propensity for hating the Tibetan people and wishing they would disappear while also shooting Tibetan natives who take the hint and attempt to leave the country by hiking over the border. And thus you see the people are not just an enemy to be silenced or run off. They are also property, chattel, which must be fenced in and subjugated. And so the likes of Potok condescendingly attack the idea of the Federal Reserve ripping people off and controlling the money supply as radical. Now, both accusations are true. It would have been well documented ad nauseum by many, many financial analysts from both sides of the political spectrum. I mean, I challenge Potok to come here, come on Republic Broadcasting Network and debate us on this very issue in depth. But then, of course, the real kick is that the lovely Ann Tompkins and Mark Potok both connect the movement towards any barter and trade away from the Federal Reserve controlled construct as being an extremist endeavor, which will, I just lost, wreak havoc on the mainstream economy. And this, my friends, casts millions of Americans into the role of domestic terrorists without them ever lifting a finger in anger or violence. Again, you're not allowed to have your own economy or your own money. You have to play by the rules, their rules. You must become a part of the team. I had this conversation with a client earlier today. Client who contacted his brokerage firm to have some... The guy's making, you know, a percent and a half a year on money that is invested with a brokerage firm. I get up sitting in a money market or where it is, but a percent and a half. God, he loses that in inflation in about 2 weeks. Just at the gas station alone. So he says, the heck with this. I'm going to put more money into gold and silver. Places an order with us last Friday. He's already made more money in 1 week than he made the entire year with that brokerage firm. But they're making it real difficult for him to get his money. Because, you see, they don't consider it his money. They believe it to be their money. Theirs. T-H-E-I-R-S. Theirs. Well, being that I apparently seem to fit many of the Department of Homeland Security and the SPLC's characteristics of a homegrown terrorist, and most of the people I know and work with and are friends with do as well, maybe it becomes somewhat incumbent upon me to give you a personal diary into the everyday existence of such a dangerous affront to civilized society. You know, for all you terrorism voyeurs out there, let's delve into the deep, dark recesses of the life and psyche of the average establishment-nominated homegrown extremist. 7 a.m. I wake up this morning and every morning with thoughts on how I may better expose the Federal Reserve and the fated, morally bankrupt corporate banksters who constructed it. Make a pot of coffee. Take my Lavoxol. Change out of my Gadsden flag pajamas and jump into the shower. And while doing so, no, I'm not singing the lyrics to a jazz song. I'm singing Jimi Hendrix All Along the Watchtower. I rinse and I repeat. 8 o'clock, back to the coffee. Jot down my immediate thoughts for the next terroristic macroeconomic analysis article I plan to complete later in the day with my long, horrifying, trigger-happy terrorist fingers on my terrorist-built supercomputer. Grab a blueberry muffin, probably heated to sumptuous perfection by bakers of the terrorist persuasion. I mean, as you know, we're everywhere. We're everywhere. Booga, 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 booga. 9 a.m., go out for my 5-mile jog. Yeah, right, sure. Like I have that kind of chance. Forget that part. That's not me. My 5-mile jog is back and forth from the computer to the coffee machine all day, and, well, frankly, the last 4 or 5 days, it's been from the bed to the jog to the bed, back and forth. That's, I've done 5 miles of that. Whew. You know, but if I did go out jogging, or maybe I'd take my bike, go out and ride around the block a few times just to get some fresh air and see what the dogs out on the street are doing. Got to stay in top condition if Homeland Security plans to hunt me down for all those goods and the silver I've been trading on the evil right-wing extremist ultra-maxi secret black market, right? What about the flea markets, farmers markets, the garage sales, private exchanges of eggs and milk, all under the nose of the IRS? Oh, you name it, baby, I sully the pristine nature of the Federal Reserve System with it all. 10 a.m. Arrive back at my day job and night job. Well, don't have employees. Don't really have any employers. Talk to Sandra a little bit. Talk to John once in a while. Most of the day I'm on the phone dealing with clients, client issues, suppliers, things of that nature. But we do tend to talk about stagflationary threats to the U.S. economy, the inherent tyranny of the central banking philosophy, the complete idiocy of the Keynesian methodology, risk of treasury depreciation, the loss of the greenback's world reserve currency status. We're drowning in greenbacks. I guess next we'll have to call them wetbacks. And all the time we're discussing this stuff with this, along with the need for sound money initiatives and localized commerce and state sovereignty legislation and personal defense, somehow they've not yet realized that I'm a terrorist. Mark Potok needs to get his message out there more effectively. He's not doing his job well enough. 4 p.m., I pretty much shut down. Well, no, 3 p.m. got to spend at least an hour toying around and decide what I'm going to talk about on the air for an hour. Do the program for an hour. Get off. Go outside in the back. Light up a Lucky. Get on my camel. 6 o'clock, arrive back in the office for an evening's worth of hard work. Sometimes have a nice dinner devoid of artificial sweeteners, chemical preservatives, high fructose corn syrup. For some reason, I care about my overall health and shudder at the prospect of feeding from the corporately produced slop trough, which only seems to slowly morph any unsuspecting human being into 300-pound, boil-infested, bottom-feeding cankle troll with the logical and intuitive capacity of a sea monkey. Sometimes I'll watch a rerun of, I don't know, it's usually some murder show. And in the murder show, they're always showing terrorists. 7 o'clock, may kick back on the couch, stick my feet up, watch some ridiculously stupid and inane television program that serves absolutely no purpose whatsoever. 15 minutes later, I get up off the couch and go back to my second job as a terrorist writer. I mean, we're just indeed relentless. And after spreading my vicious propaganda about 11 o'clock at night about how the leadership of both major political parties support nearly the same exact legislation and only seem to disagree in rhetoric, or when the particular issue is ultimately unimportant to the progression of globalization, as well as the inevitable downfall of the American financial system facilitated by the deliberate creation of the derivatives crises by the Federal Reserve and the global ranks of Morgan the Pirate, Goldman Sachs, HSBC, and the like. I then have a shot of bourbon, shot of scotch, and if I'm really feeling badly, I'll grab some cognac. You know, my friends, sometimes it's really depressing being a terrorist. You gotta take the edge off. Now it's midnight. Sometimes I get around to answering emails from other world-beat terrorists across the country who have been wiled by the undeniably rich and sexy allure of the lifestyle. Sometimes if I really feel up to it, I'll go ahead and update some financial headlines on the Republic Trading Group International.com website, or maybe work on Federal Observer, whatever I feel I have to do. Last night I was balancing books and working on accounting mechanisms last night. You know, being labeled a terrorist is truly, it's fun, it's exciting. Being constantly aware of the Godzilla-like rampage of international banks and the Fed across the ruins of our monetary system, while half the public is more concerned about what kind of gordita they want from Taco Bell, is immensely comforting. God, they're all going to look like gorditas. All the extra attention we receive from such highly placed individuals such as Janet Napolitano, sometimes known as Nappy, in other days known as Janet Nadikarino. They make me feel like a celebrity. I imagine any group in history who has been singled out by government for their political and social views or their desire to fix the obvious inadequacies of their authority structure has felt the same way. Absolutely capital. Just fabulous. And it's now 1 o'clock. Maybe I ought to consider going to sleep. A little warm milk? I remember the Sapphire and an old Amos and Andy. Warm milk, everybody. She poured two hot pitchers of warm milk on the Kingfish and Andy H. Brown. No, warm milk doesn't excite me. I think I'll grab another shot of cognac. Air conditioning at optimum temperature. Yeah. Bedspread neatly folded. Easy access. Yeah. Low playing mood music, baby. That's when the jazz kicks in. Got to be able to sleep sound. And I got that loaded semi-automatic pistol under the pillow. And then I commence Operation Sheep Count. And sometimes it's sheep dip. I attempt to supplant the concerns and the tensions of a world tomorrow that could be drastically different and even more frightening than the one we live in today. Maybe I don't sleep so well that night because I worry that I should be sleeping less and working more to prepare others for what is coming, hoping that my belief in the greater potential of mankind is not a waste, and that my efforts will yield something better for those generations that follow my own. And for that, I guess I would be labeled an extremist, a deviant. I'll never stop pursuing the tidings of liberty, regardless of the cost. I am a madman. However, this makes me wonder, what does it mean to be deemed a madman in a society run by madmen? What does it mean to be judged a deviant in a nation dominated by deviants? Why is it that a so-called terrorist in an atmosphere of dread and tyranny always seems to end up being but a man who only seeks to be free? I have obviously, well, let me close that section by stating, posted this date by Giordano Bruno. I don't know why he's chosen that name. I'm assuming Giordano Bruno was an Italian freedom fighter at one point in time. I certainly have taken some liberties in the presentation of this, added a little bit of my own nonsense, as it were. I think you understand why I felt so compelled to share that commentary with you. It says a lot. It says an awful lot. An email from one of our listeners and frequent callers. Tom, why don't you pick up the phone? Give us a call. You know how to find me. No, I don't smoke Luckies. Who you bought into that? That's just part of my shtick. You know, light up a Lucky and ride the camel and all that good stuff. No, I wouldn't smoke Luckies. Actually, that's probably one of the purest smokes you'll get. Forget the filters and all the junk. Light up an old-fashioned Lucky Strike. It's a much purer form of tobacco, I tell you. Tom's comment to me was in an email earlier that, of course, Bernard von Nothaus was no criminal. And I fully agree with that. I had conversations with Bernard many, many years ago when he was just getting the Liberty Dollar started. It is simply appalling to me to watch how a man like von Nothaus has been demonized. Twists on words, given new meanings to whatever. I look at probably one of the finest silver minters or fabricators in this country is located in the Midwest. If you've been a silver owner for any length of time, and you've owned a mixed bag of little Merry Christmas, congratulations, it's a boy, you know, little 1 ounce silver rounds, or first, you know, bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, all that kind of stuff. Happy Easter, happy Mother's Day. They were all minted by the same firm. They now are also the fabricator of the modern era 1 ounce 999 fine Buffalo rounds. Still available. We are out a number of weeks before delivery on Silver Eagles or Maple Leafs or the Buffalo Rounds. The point is, here is a coin or a medallion or a silver round, legally we must call them, that does not claim to have a dollar evaluation posted on that piece. Be right with them. And yet, it is an exact replica of the old U.S., what we called the Buffalo Nickel. even to the point that the buffalo on the back is in a three-legged design, which is a very famous error from over-grinding and over-polishing in the old buffalo nickel. And what makes it even crazier is I believe it was 1999 or 2001, even the U.S. Mint came out and did a one-ounce silver dollar replica of the old buffalo nickel. And now we've got this company that's producing complete boxes. It doesn't say, you know, Estados Unidos or $1 or anything else on it. But isn't it the same darn thing? One of the biggest distributors that I use produces a 1 ounce silver round. There's many other companies that are online that produce their own. What is wrong here? No, we've got to single one man out because his philosophy was elevated beyond those of the rest because he might have been a domestic terrorist. Thomas, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining me for these few moments.
Thank you for addressing this issue, Jeffrey. I really appreciate it. A great number of our patriotic Americans gravitated towards the Norfed dollars years back, and it went to the point where they had actually a Ron Paul round, and it was really an interesting situation, and I'd like to challenge the authority of the federal government for them to seize the collateral asset that actually backs the currency. Or actually, well, let's not call it currency. I don't want to get caught in words that they think they've got a copyright on.
Okay. Yeah, we have to be careful, Roger.
Warehouse receipts, Roger. Are you listening? Don't we know about warehouse receipts? We had the same teachers. Warehouse receipts. We all are the bearers of the warehouse receipt. Now, to the feds that are listening, God bless you guys. I hope you all get your pensions, but it won't be if I have anything to do with it. Are you listening? You guys stole my money. I am holding a warehouse receipt for $1. And it says $1, but I would like you to show me the copyright you have on the word dollar. Okay? Because what Jeffrey and I know, and what Roger knows, is $1 is a unit of measure. Okay? And just like, you know, the chosen people have copyrighted the use of the word Holocaust, okay?
Oh, I thought you were going to say the word 6 million. That's okay.
Wait a minute. Well, you know, honestly, I don't blame those people at all because anything that destroys humanity, whether it's one or six or anything, is a terrible situation. But you didn't have to use Arthur Anderson accounting, okay? Unbelievable.
Tom, allow me to say something for just a moment, and I want the audience to understand that Tom is a very regular caller to this network, and you're all aware of that. If you listen to any range of the programs that are on this network. And thanks, bud. Appreciate that. And the reality is that Tom and Roger have a history that goes back a number of decades. They have personally known each other for many, many years. And thanks to this program, we've kind of gotten them in touch again. And it's been, interesting. And excuse me for having plugged all that in, Tom. But, a lot of times we get callers and who come in and you have a massive variation of things that you have knowledge of, and sometimes you'll get an audience out there that says, okay, Tom, enough, what's next? You know what? That is the dumbest thing. You don't learn anything by shutting someone up. Tom comes to us with a wealth of knowledge and experience. He and Roger have been down this path together.
Well, you know, I owe Roger a great debt, like I owe most of the people a great debt that have touched my life. Roger put me in touch with Eustace Mullins.
Yeah.
When I was down in North Atlanta, the group down in North Atlanta put me in touch with Byron Dale. I met many good, very, very good people down there. And once I met them, you know, I followed them around. I went to the talks. I went to this. I bought all their books. I spent tons of hours on the telephone. And I educated myself, Jeffrey. This is what the people need to do. Or you need to at least trust the people who have put the time in, okay? But don't believe one word I tell you. I'm a compulsive liar.
You're from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Well, actually, I'm in Pennsylvania. Another deceit. Hey, he lied to us again. Hey. You would think I was one of the desert people. I lie so much. But no, actually, I'm not. And thank you for the build up there, Jeffrey. Not many people know much about me, and it's to their betterment. Trust me. The bottom line here is...
I'm appreciative of that which you share with me, Tom. You and I don't get to talk as often as you would probably like. I'm just buried, and I've been just sicker to dog this week. This is the best I've felt all week. And
I'm sorry I had a rain on your good parade there.
Not at all. No, glad to have you come on. It helped me fill some time in.
The reason that I called you the last time that I called you was I came up with a way for you to purchase your house in a really cheap manner.
And I'm not sure I want to do that, but
I won't do it on the air, but if you think it's legitimate enough to share with the other people, we'll go for it. We'll do a show on it. And actually, it's great for the seller, it's great for the buyer, and it would be, in your unique situation, absolutely great for you. But this is not what I called in for. I called in for all of you people that are holding warehouse receipts. You're probably in violation of the law right now because they say it's counterfeit, okay? But it doesn't say not any functional retard standing in front of a cash register is going to take that for a dollar. If you turn it over, it clearly states warehouse receipt, okay?
Yep.
Now, one of the reasons they made such a big stink about the paper money was Walmart was accepting them. Did you know that?
I had heard some rumors about that, yeah.
Yeah, so in other words, just like Saddam Hussein, who suggested that they use euros or an alternate currency for the purchase of money, breaking the monopoly and the abusive nature of using dollars for the purchase of oil, goods and services were going to be transferred on something other than U.S. currency. Now, here's another situation that's even more important. By using the alternate real money currency, you move the status of the transaction out of a taxable status into a non-taxable status because you're not using their instrument. How do you like that one, Jeffrey?
Nah, see, that's the best part of the deal to me.
That's what the basis of the house purchase was about.
Very interesting. Very good. Well, because that's something that our boy Uncle Remus wants to do. He wants to set us up so that after a couple more years, we're going to start paying sales tax when we sell our homes.
The bottom line here is one thing that Roger touched on briefly, which I actually have been studying for a very long time, is the use and acceptance of words. They use something in the manipulation of contracts, and when they formulate a contract and format a contract, something called quantum English. Are you aware of that?
I've heard that term.
Okay, quantum English nullifies the contract in the title. In other words, there's no contract. And the only people that know that are the ones developing the contract. As soon as you put a supposition or something or a preposition in front of anything like the or it, right, it states that it is not the collateral asset, like the certificate of title. It's not the title. They have the title. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
So it's all an illusion. Anything that brings you back to the reality is a threat to the domestic illusion that the perceived reality that they have created for us.
Well, I appreciate the input. Monday night, Roger should be rejoining us if all goes well. Keep watching the website. You know, some of the things we touched on tonight, Tommy, not just with your commentary, but with some of the stuff that I shared in Bruno's essay was very well done. We're going to have a series of things coming up. We're going to have some other guests that Roger is helping to line up that will be following him up to support his statements and the things he's sharing with the audience. Many of you have sent emails saying, my God, how can I get all this in a written form? Well, first of all, you can still get the audio format to go back and listen to through the archives here at Republic Broadcasting Network. We are going to have a written format which will be available with an extremely affordable booklet that's going to go far beyond everything we're able to do on the airwaves. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay with us on this subject. Our goal is to teach you how to take your life back.
God bless you, Jeffrey.
You too, Tom. You take care of yourself, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, looks like we have reached the end of our allotted time. Thank you for sharing your valuable time with us. And until the good Lord sees fit to bring us together again, without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
They cannot be replaced.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, and the government is